Hello, everybody, and welcome to Throwlers. I'm joined, as always, with Chris Reynolds. How you doing, Chris?
Yep, very well, Alan. It's a Thursday. Sorry for not being available last night, but keen to get another potty under our belt.
Sounds good. I snuck out to do some field work today. Who would have thought? The first time I've done field work.
Look out.
Yeah, since lockdown. That would have been the last time I went out and threw frisbees and not at a basket.
How'd you go?
Not great. I did a lesson with Dave Perry on the weekend, and everything I do is bad still. So I'm working on fixing a few things up, and I don't know. We'll see. It's throwing all the timing off again and all that jazz. So, but I'm sure I'll be better for it in the long run. But snuck out with Chris Scott. And picked up my basket from Temu today. It was pretty good.
Nice.
Yeah, it's a pretty good basket.
Yeah, how is it?
It's good. Got the double ringer chains. Like, they're only thin and stuff like that, but got the double ringer chains and screws in nice, easy. Takes 2 seconds to set up. It's got the carry bag. Happy days.
Cool. What did it set you back?
$200.
$200 mm-hmm. at your door.
Delivered, yeah.
Away you go.
Yeah. So, no, that was pretty good. I was happy with that. And then we did some fieldwork stuff, and then we did a little CTP challenge thing, and then finished with some putting. And unfortunately, he beat me at both the CTP thing and the putting. So, but not surprisingly, he is very good and on a heater lately.
Yeah, well, I think he might even get a cheeky mention now that you say that in our rating update when we get to that.
I think so. What about you? You got anything on this week?
Disc golf wise, obviously we had a good, beautiful long weekend. But I spent the whole weekend up in Dalesford. It was a chill out fest up in Dalesford. So Dalesford was packed. It was just good to get away and relax and chill out. Pardon the pun. And then straight back into work. But tomorrow's already Friday. So bring on another weekend.
Yeah, sounds good. I've got to ask, I saw some cheeky videos you sent and some scorecards. You went out and checked out the new Ballarat course. What were the thoughts?
Excellent. Just what a beautiful canvas. It's just another one of those situations where, you know, like Ruffy Park, fully expanded, that, you know, it'd be hard to design a bad hole. And they've got some spectacular ones already. I'm already really excited about how they might expand and grow. It's to just for the listeners, if you haven't got out there, you got to get out there. Mount Saviour, it's on the Melbourne side of Ballarat, so it's even like a slightly shorter drive wherever you're coming from.
I looked it up and I did see that, and I was like, oh, a little bit closer. Like, it's probably irrelevantly closer, but I was like, it's a little closer.
Nah, it adds up. Like, Picanti Beans, who was there with me, it might have been Penn that said this. Penn's like, I can't imagine going to Vic Park once this is 18.
Oh.
Like it's going to be hard to drive past.
Yeah,
why would you? And even at 9 baskets, no slouch on Vic Park. Vic Park's a great course. We know that. But this course is something else. It's going to be, I can't wait for more people to get out there and see it. And I can't wait to see what it grows to become. But what the listeners need to hear is that it's hilly and it's wooded. And if you got to play Alinda, think a little bit like Alinda, but add more trees. And if you've ever played Ruffy, add length. All right. So obviously Ruffy's a pitch and putt. And again, add more trees. It's just some of the holes are perfect. I've already reached out to Reese. Hole one's just a cracker. Hole six is brutal. And if they had a little league day. I don't know if you saw. Did you see that a little league day up there?
Yeah, I was actually just getting the metrics up for that now because I wanted to have a chat about the scoring.
There's 9 holes. And they just played the 9 holes twice. What you need to have a close look at on metrics is just hole 6 and 7. Now, on U-Disc, hole 7 is in there as a play par 5. So I don't know if they've changed that on U-Disc yet, because they obviously played it as a par 4 for the league day, and that's more accurate. The hole is a par 4 hole. It's only 140 metres, beat uphill. But if you look at 7, there are a bunch of 6s, a bunch of 7s, and a bunch of 8s.
Yeah, yeah, crazy.
Yeah. And not many threes. Okay, so I'm seeing 1-3 on the first lap by Ryan Michel and 1-3 by Tim Bowen on the second lap. And so if it's a par 4, they're the only birdies that gave up. If it's a par 5, they're the eagles that gave up. But I don't see it playing as a par 5, to be honest, unless they extended it. And that's the beautiful thing. Like, they have so much land that's just so far untouched that they plan on expanding into. Hole six is like a downhill hole, par 4. And on the first lap, it didn't take many scalps. Like, a lot of people managed to get the 4 on the first lap, but on the second lap, no one was getting the par. And lots of people were taking bogeys and double bogeys. And that hole has painted OB left and natural OB right, and a very tight fairway. For a par 4 and a little dogleg chicane in the middle of it. It's just a really tough hole. I'm very, very fond of hole 6. 7 has huge potential, and yeah, they're just all good holes. Yeah, I can't wait for others to see it.
Cool. Yeah, I'm excited. I'm very keen to check it out. And when do they have word on when the next 9 go in or not?
No. However, watch this space.
Ooh.
Throwlers exclusive.
Oh.
Probably not meant to say this. The big wet to be held at Mount Xavier.
Awesome. Cool. That's exciting.
Yeah. So yeah, I can get around whatever that. Even if that's on tent baskets or whatever it might be, because that'll be just a couple of months away. The big wet will be at Mount Xavier.
I like that. Yeah, we've got to be careful. People will just stop talking to us if we just keep saying shit. But we'll see how we go. I'm very keen. It sounds great. And, just good on Ballarat to have another amazing future 18 basket course. And we are stuck at Bicentennial for social days.
I'm moving to Ballarat as soon as that joint's 18. Like, I'm done. I'll drive to Melton for work if I have to, but we're moving to Ballarat, Ella.
Excellent. I took a little bit of a dig at Bicentennial, but that was just to, smoothly transition.
Yes.
into the Bicentennial social day that we had on the weekend. Neither one of us made it out. I signed up for about a minute, and then I got a bit of news that I wasn't actually available. I was like, oh, okay. but it seemed like a good little battle. So Dazza and Marcus both ended up with a -7. Who was that? Dazza with a double bogey on 17. Rough.
Yes.
Yeah. But other than that, some good scores. Aiden and... Who, Jad S? Is that Jade? Is he still, is that Canada Jade?
No. Maybe that's Canada Jade. Mm. Maybe.
Let's just run with it.
Yeah.
I feel like his last name started with S, something like that.
Let's see if Metrics will give me any insight.
But Jad S.
Says he's a star. That's the only thing he's ever got on Metrics. Mm, yeah, okay. I reckon it is going to be him.
So, -6 for him as well.
His name's Smith.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Yeah, so I reckon that's him. Just running with an alias for some reason.
Yep.
Peter Chu, -4. And it drops off pretty quick. Ryan Deere finding himself with a -3. Tied with Mike Vanderlyn and Max Tats. That's unfamiliar territory for Ryan Deere. So,
wowee.
Yeah. Watch the next social day. He'll probably win by 4 strokes. that's a strange place for him to be down at 6th.
And, he's gone first, 6th.
Yeah, it's it. So, other than that, not too many of the killers. Shout out Sam Barnett, though, with a +2. I don't know what's happening. I don't know what's happening with that there, Barney. True. Wild.
Yeah.
But yeah, Ryan Miranda takes out the handicap just ahead of Max Tats. Max Tats has been on a heater lately.
He certainly has, and I've already stipulated I'm all about him. And so let's see if he can, make his way well into the mix with some Div A players. Who do we find at the bottom of the handicap pile?
Bottom of the handicap, we've got Ryan Deere, unsurprisingly.
Yeah.
Of the people that actually have ratings. Yeah, Ryan Deere, Sam Barnett, so two people already named and shamed.
Yeah.
Doug Adams down there as well, not so handy for Doug. Braden Boyack, yeah, no, that's not, you don't want to be down that end of the handicap list.
No.
But nice rounds for Brett Bobridge, Peter Chu, and Paul Arden with a rare appearance.
Look out.
I think I put myself on his card, but then I couldn't end up making it. So sorry, Paul.
Just having a quick look down the leaderboard. Not a single clean sheet.
I did notice that. It must have been, a bit of interesting conditions. Let's just say that.
Mm. Yeah.
And only two birdies on hole 10, which was the hole 8 and aced. And I got some information on the hole because I was asking, how does that even happen? And you were in the same thought process as me, right?
Yeah.
So yeah, exactly. Apparently it was a backhand hyzer line, like going well away from the fairway. And I do distinctly remember now Dazza showed me and I was like, nah. I mean, it's the smallest gap. It's pretty close to the tee, but it's the smallest gap. I was like, that's craziness. Why would I ever try that? Because I'll just hit a tree that early tree and then be screwed. But I guess Aiden was like, well, I won't. And then takes the ace. And he would have done the same thing at the social day and took two, I'm sure.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I guess a bit of confidence and a bit of accuracy. And that hole's nothing. Piece of cake.
So look out.
All right, so we didn't touch on the Tassie Open last time because we forgot.
No, we didn't.
Because we did. Neither of us were going.
No.
But we definitely didn't forget it this time. I've had it on the run sheet from the start. I didn't at all forget it and have to be reminded by you.
Not at all. All along.
Not a big turnout, though. 36 players for the second major of the year, and there was 36 players at Bicentennial this weekend.
Yes.
Yeah. Not good. I touched on it at the end of the last pod. They need to move it away from that long weekend. The flights down there are just too hectic. It just costs too much. So if you're not on it super duper early, then you're loaded.
Agreed. Agreed.
Anyway, it was played at Wallaby Hill, not Hobart. Normally, this time of the year, they have the event in Point Mina. But they were starting to try to make the Tassie Open the thing, and the Tassie locals seem to think that this Wallaby Hill course is far superior to Point Mina, which I personally think is crazy. I'm not a big fan of the course, but I know I'm in the minority. I know a lot of people love it. Like, the property is beautiful. I won't, for a second, say anything bad about the property, but yeah, I don't know. I don't like that you can't see any basket from the tee, but lots of people like that you have to throw like specific placement shots, and yeah, I don't know. I sort of get it. Maybe I just need to spend more time on it. But
you went down there again when we were down there for nationals, didn't you? You drove out to Wallaby Hill.
Yeah, I played the full 27.
Yeah, I still haven't. I haven't been back since it was like a scratchy 18.
Yeah,
but you know, to hear you saying that even after seeing the 27 that you're still not a fan, like I wasn't even tempted during nationals to get out there because I was like, it's not really for me. But yeah, but I think you're right. We are in the minority.
Yeah, definitely. We definitely are. But yeah, so the 18 you play at all, pretty much all 8 of them are still part of it.
Yeah,
like they've done really not much. Too well, from my perspective, I'm sure there's probably been a mountain of work done. Not trying to downplay it for the boys involved in that. But, yeah, they're essentially still those same holes with, you know, new ones mixed in. And yeah, I don't know. That's yeah. It's I just love Point Mina. Love Point Mina. It's really hard for me to go to Tassie and not go play that. It's like my favorite course in the country.
Exactly, me too. That may be where bias, but
Yeah.
hole 1, 2, and 3. I'm looking at round three. Hole 1, 2, and 3 for the MPO boys. Giving up zero birdies on the first three holes.
Really? I'm trying to figure
Yeah.
out. Oh yeah, I'm trying to. Oh, sorry, I'm trying to get my bearings of where that starts. Hole one. Hole one makes sense for the one I'm thinking of, but 2 and 3 is 2 super short.
Well, yeah, it's a super short par four, apparently.
Oh, par four. I'm thinking of a different. Oh, I got a different order in my head then. Oh,
Gareth
yes.
eagled in one of the rounds, and it gave up plenty of birdies round two and stuff. But yeah, MPO was just slow out of the gates round three, giving up no birdies on the first three holes.
Yeah, no, hole one's impossible. Hole one's impossible. I don't, yeah, and I'm starting to remember it now. It's crazy. Like, it's, yeah, the shot is so weird. It's so specific. I'd actually don't mind this one, but it's just a very, very weird shot. Like, it's downhill and super to the left. But you have to throw it real straight for a while. Like it's really hard to explain unless you play it. But I did see Oscar have a look at it. He threw one of his wraiths flip up and had a look. And then hole four and hole two, I reckon you would have played it. That was it's the one where the basket's sort of tucked off into the side. You're playing down a road, and it's tucked into the side on like a little hill. So I can get that messing people up, and I can get how they can get eagled. But tough going, eh? Any other crazy holes doing some damage? Well, there'll be a lot of crazy holes doing damage there.
I mean, obviously down the stretch on round three, like the other end of the spectrum is hole 25 gave up three eagles.
Big.
Yeah.
Big. I can't think of which one 25
Nah, and I've never been there, so I've got no idea. But
is.
there's all sorts of colours on the scorecards in MPO, but only the one name at the top by quite a gap in the end.
Yeah,
Turned
he's
into a,
looking good.
yeah, turned out to be a race for second, which was a very tight race, with Gareth Morgan charging home. With a minus 11 to finish one shot back of Jade Brady in second, and Bainey mined the gap, took a five shot victory over the field with a minus 31 across the three rounds, averaging 990 something, was it?
Yep.
Nine
Yeah,
nine
something
nine
like that.
nine three event. Austin D'Alessandro in fourth, also at minus 21, and then Atticus a fair way back of that. And then Ollie taking up the bottom of the leaderboard.
Yeah, huge, huge gap between neg 21 of Austin and neg 7 and neg 6 of Atticus and Ollie. But yeah, those dudes are legit. Austin, Jade, and Bainey, they play a lot of tournaments. They travel around the country, and they're very good at disc golf. So amazing work there from our man Gareth to be hanging with them. So some severely undermanned ratings wise. But yeah, getting it done. So
Yeah,
nice to see that. Yeah.
Gareth is a jet. We've seen it firsthand a few times now, and it's not surprising, but it's probably against that field, it'd be one of his better finishes, I imagine.
Oh, definitely. Yeah, definitely. And he loves that course. Like, as much as I, yeah, he props it. He thinks it's fantastic. So, no surprises there. And so does Bainey. So, like I said, we are in the minority. But people are just going to have to get down there and check it out for themselves.
Exactly.
Kev Costa at MP40, solo man, but obviously getting it done. Rough second round, though. Not sure what happened there. Way under
Ended up,
ratings, but.
yeah, I was going to say, end up scraping an event just above his actual rating, but it was not helped at all by round two.
And then our man Jacob in the MA1, how'd he fare?
He would have got it done against that field, surely.
Yeah, you would hope so.
I would have. Was there anyone even there from like genuine NMA1s?
Sam Rubok is good.
Okay.
I will have that. I've had many a battle with him in Tassie. So So he's yep. always there's never normally a big MA1 field in Tassie, but he's normally right at the pointy end of that. So yeah, he is good, but he normally gets outclassed by one of us Victorians, but not this time. He looks like he was in a tie with Zinzor, but I'm assuming it says both first place. So who knows how that shook out? We weren't there for the playoff, but two Tassie locals there.
Yeah, I'm trying to just suss that right now. And they're both saying, both saying ones. Do they just give it to them both, maybe?
Yeah, I don't know. It's wild. But big final round for Sam, taking 8 strokes off his in.
So yeah.
Hectic.
Way to charge home.
Not so good for Jacob. In fourth, just a bit of lackluster disc golf all the way through, I think.
Yeah. I mean, it also doesn't sit well with me if we'll come back to some other divisions, but what was catching my eye all weekend was the MA2 battle versus MA1.
Yeah. Yeah, well, Matt Ellis is good. Matt Ellis is good at disc golf, so.
Yeah, but at some stages in there were, like, just a few of the MA2 boys were, like, well and truly in the mix in MA1. I don't like MA2. It shouldn't exist.
It shouldn't exist.
Like, they should be playing. Like, Matt Ellis should be an MA1 winner. And the only reason he's not is because MA2 exists. I don't even think that's on Matt Ellis at this point. MA2 should simply not exist.
I like it. So, what, MA... do you keep MA3 called MA3?
Yep.
Really highlight the jump?
Yeah, exactly. Because it should be, you know, I'm advanced, I'm rec, and I'm novice. Like, and there's not like I'm kind of advanced. Like, what is kind of advanced? You're either advanced or you're not.
I would get around that because, there's only there'll be like another 5, 6, 8 people that beat me every big event, but then there'll be 20 others that I beat. So it would be all right. That would be a bit nice.
Yeah.
Oh, nice. And then John Slobom, which is one of the course designers, taking out MA40 pretty comfortably. And then,
round one?
No, I saw that he started with a double bogey, and that's all I really saw with. I was like, okay.
Round one, -2.
Oh, was it? No way. Yep. He started with his first hole of the tournament was a double bogey.
Yep. -2 round one, goes into round two with a 24-shot lead.
Holy crap. I missed that for sure. I was just too busy looking at Jacob and Jeff.
Yep. 24-shot lead over Alex Brindle.
Oh, look how bad round two was. What the hell?
Yep. He ends up only winning by 7 shots. So he's lucky he goes in with a 24-shot lead into the next two rounds.
19 strokes works round two.
Yeah.
That's unheard of. No, 21.
Yeah. 21, yeah.
Wow. We're going to have to give you some good shit about that next time we see him. Come on, Slow Bomb. What is that?
I'm assuming they had a pretty big night Friday night.
Maybe. He's not normally that. It might be different there, though.
Exactly.
Yeah, true. Yeah. Nah, now, the more I think about it, the more that makes a lot of sense.
All right. Let's get to the one division that matters. Let's get to MA50. What happened there?
So, Jeff was the clear favorite for sure. Chris Wright in there as well, but he's not no threat. Neither is Krista Hockings. Michael Rubok does a bit, but Jeff would have been the clear favorite, but not so much after round one. Did okay, but not enough. Michael was leading round two, same deal, couple back. So all of a sudden he's 4 back now, and he's just frustrated. He also doesn't like the course. He's with us. But he's like, I know I can shoot. Like, he's been shooting like +17, +20, something like that. And he's like, I know I can shoot like +10 for sure. And I was like, all right, sweet. Just do it. And then the next day he goes out, shoots a +8, wins by a million strokes. So well done, Jeff. Good final round. Finally gets something above his rating. But yeah, gets it done over Michael Rubach.
Yeah. Obviously, yeah, you've highlighted the field. He got to play the event 20 rating points below his rating and still smack the field. But a win's a win. And to do it from behind and to do it in that style, a win's a win. I'm up and about. I like it. Good win. That's a massive improvement, round three. And, you know, no, like, I'm sure, I have to say, it's had to be physically grueling as well. Like,
yeah.
By the time you get to round three, I'm getting around that 27-hole course.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Definitely. It's long. It's long. Yeah. It's kind of hilly. And, yeah. No, that would have been tough. So, good on the old man for sticking it out. And then, yeah, so your favorite division, MA2. We touched on it a bit. Matt Ellis. He got down there. He's a New South Wales boy, I think. And, yeah, he's a million ahead. Plus six. And Ben Kennedy in second place is plus 25. Thanks for playing. Bang.
Yeah. And, yeah, no other real familiar names. Yeah, just obviously a couple of interstaters, though, that have traveled down for it. And, yeah, but 9:30 event nearly for Matt Ellis. Pretty convincing. You had the Costa Better Half also running solo in FA2 and obviously taking the chocolates there. And then in MA4, we had some big numbers. We had some big numbers kicking down in MA4, as you would expect.
Yeah.
And a young Bradley, who knows? I love just a young Bradley Smith gets it done with his plus 53 overall, nearly a 20 stroke victory over Kobe and Kynan.
Yeah, I'm assuming all five players there were probably Tassie locals.
The Kobe and the Kynan. You're not getting those names spelt that way on the mainland, I tell you.
I was a bit more looking at the fact that only one of them has a PDGA rating. but yeah, that too.
We're wrong though. I've just had a little look. Oh, Kynan's, no. Kynan's from Queensland.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah. But Kobe is a Tassie local.
There we go. Yeah, well, cool event. Shame that the turnout wasn't greater. And yeah, I'm disappointed to have missed it. But maybe next year. Maybe back at Point Meadow next year. But nah, probably not. I think it's here to stay. They might never run a big tournament there at Point Meadow ever again. It's crazy.
Exactly. It might get pulled out of the ground. It might be our version of Java.
Java.
What's happening to Java? Like, that's the course they always threaten to pull out in Finland.
Oh, okay. Oh, I was not aware.
Oh, sorry. That was a nuffy joke.
That's cool. All right. So moving on to the Pro Tour stuff. They had the
big boys.
The big boys. They had the Waco Charity Open. Or maybe it's just called Waco now. Prodigy presents Waco.
Yes.
So did you get a chance to watch any of this?
I did, actually. I resubscribed to my Disc Golf Network on the weekend while I was chilling up at Dalesford. And I got to watch the final round live, the whole thing, which was pretty good. And I watched a bit of post-producer the earlier rounds. What about yourself?
Yeah, same. It was the long weekend. So, I watched a bit of it live and a bit of the post-produced stuff as well, because I was, doing stuff on the weekend. But looks good. Enjoyable. Waco is always pretty cool. And Lake Waco I liked as well. But, that Waco finishing few is pretty cool with the big Tommy hole, hole 17.
Yes.
Which we saw an eagle on this weekend.
Yes, we did.
And then a lot of bogeys. But, hole 18, which just sort of makes people think. And, yeah, it's cool.
And I thought Lake Waco, the stretch at Lake Waco ended up obviously causing a bit of drama as well.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it came down to it. So, it was Gannonburn and Luke Humphreys in the end. Nicholas Santolo put together a really hot round and sort of set the target. But it looked like, one or both of Gannon and Luke would end up beating that. And yes. Yeah, bit of shenanigans. So hole 17 is the one on the hill, yeah? You throw it over the water and you got to stick it on the hill?
Yeah, with a like OB green and water right. Oh, well, OB right, like not much to work with.
Yeah, and Humphreys gets it, yeah, but Gannon doesn't, from memory?
No, they both get it.
Yeah, okay, they both get it. Antler missed it. He took an OB on it and took a four. Laid up the putt instead of running the putt. So with one hole left to play, he decided to lay up and just say, you know what, negative 36 is probably good enough.
Yeah. And I back him in, to be honest. I back him in at that time because with where the other card was, basically he, like 17's a tough birdie, 18's a brutally tough birdie. And so for Gannon to catch him, he had to go birdie-birdie.
Yeah. So you would have done the same?
I would have laid up, yeah.
There you go. Well, I would have run the putt, taken a seven, and then come fifth, but that's... we did different things.
Yeah.
But so it comes out of the final hole. Luke Humphreys has one stroke on Gannon Burr with one to play. They both put out decent drives, but nothing crazy good. And then Luke's in a position to get to like a look at the pin, throws his drive, and it curls back into OB. So throws it over the OB golf green, and then it sort of cut rolls back onto the golf green, and he is just shook. Like, you can see it in his face. He's like, what do you mean, red flag? Like, he had no thoughts of that going out of bounds, don't you think?
Yeah. Well, I don't know. It was a hard carry from where he was. So I think he was just in, I don't think he was surprised. I think he was in shock.
Okay.
But I just think for where his drive was shit. His drive was a grip lock shank and he forced himself right. And then he had to stay right, which just makes the carry longer. And so he had to throw a hyzer to something that's already far away. And so I think the OB was in play. That's the one where I wonder, to be honest, like, I don't question Nicholas, but do I question Luke going for the birdie there? Yeah, I kind of do. But it's so hard to tell without being stood where he was. Was there a comfortable play for par? I don't even know if there was a comfortable play for par.
And if you've been ripping it, this is round four of a massive tournament and you've been throwing the disc so good. Like, if you're sitting there, you're like, oh, I'll clear that green.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? That just the confidence is going to be pretty high.
Yeah.
So, yeah, very interesting one. And especially, yeah, that's the other thing too. If you're not really risking it, like, if you think, oh, I'll get that.
Yeah.
That's fine. Then it's like, you know what I mean? That is a safe play.
Yeah.
But yeah, it didn't turn out very well. And then Gannon throws an incredible second shot.
Yes, he does.
That was nuts. And then puts it to what? To 8 meters?
Yeah. 25 feet, 8 meters.
Yeah. And then whack, bangs the putt. Humphreys can't make his throw in before that. And Gannon wins on the Prodigy sponsored event.
Yeah, huge. And I don't think enough's been made of the fact that obviously he's already like got a win for the season, which is huge. And I expect him to go on now to have like a crazy season. Maybe he'll even have Calvin style season. But he's just done it with brand new discs. Second event or whatever we are. Third event.
Yeah.
Bang, win.
Yeah, no, it's very impressive. The kid is very good. He's a safe bet, and yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if he puts in a Calvin like season from last year, which would be nuts because there's just so many killers nowadays.
But, who did you tip?
I had Kyle Klein, so okay. Winner from last year, and played pretty good at chess.com. So I thought that was a pretty safe bet. He had coming up in seventh place, so. It's good now. It's hard tipping top tens nowadays. So, I was happy with that. How about you?
I wouldn't know how to tip someone to get to top 10. I would not know. But before I tell you who I tipped, let me ask you. We also have an ongoing ace tipping comp. Who do you tip? Who did you tip in the ace comp?
Oh, that's good. That is a good question. Yeah, we part of the tipping this year. We put some of the money aside for like an ace pot, so everyone got to pick out of anyone from the NPO or FPO, and a lot of people went the FPO, which I was a bit surprised at, but I don't know. Those girls can sling, and a lot of them have some shorter holes, so that's a good get. But I just thought I'm going to go with the wildest man on tour, Anthony Barella, and whack! Event number two, he gets the ace. Alan gets $150 or something. Thanks for playing. Love your work, AB.
Yeah, so good. So I wanted to bring that up to tell you who I tipped.
Yes.
So Anthony Barella, ace hole 11, a 265-foot, whatever that translate to, like 70-meter hole. That's what he aced. Well done, AB. We've maybe seen the footage. Fucking riddle me. Riddle me how Gossage takes a snowman on that hole.
Oh, I've got no idea. Does he miss the triple mando?
No, this is the thing, right? There's not even... I can't stress this enough, right? That hole, right, had one person bogey at the final round. One. And that's it. Everyone else friggin' birdied it. AB aced it. But my man takes a bloody eight on that hole.
Crazy.
Just, yeah. Anyway,
that's crazy.
Aaron Gossage, you're killing me, Sausage. You're killing me.
Wasn't I just talking last week about how he looks like he's learned how to putt?
Yeah, if he's seven putted that, which I wonder, has he seven putted that? I got no idea. It'd be nice if we were still on UDisc Live because I could figure me way around this. But because we're not on UDisc Live, I can't. I don't even know.
A bunch of interesting names. Like, it's just gonna get a bit harder and harder and just a more mixed bag every week, I think. Mason Ford, big showing in fourth place. Dickerson finding some form again in sixth place. Nicholas Ansela with him and Gannon, the two best starts to the season so far, for sure. Wysocki just finds a way to fight into that top 10, like every week, it seems.
After starting two shots behind everyone.
Yeah, he just finds a way.
Yeah.
Nate Sexton, excellent event in 10th place as well. Ulibarri, another top 20 finish. Jeremy Colling right there as well. So some of the old boys firing up as well. Our man Elijah Bickle.
The whole Jomez crew.
Yeah, a whole Jomez crew's up and about.
Oh, Elijah Bickle.
Elijah Bickle in 36th place. For those who haven't been playing since the start, Elijah followed us on Insta early days, and so seeing as he was our highest rated follower, we started checking in on him and just seeing how he did every week, and it seems he's dropped off a bit because he's now only 997 rated. But a monster event, and $480 in the pocket. Thank you very much. Well done, Elijah.
Bring back the segment.
Yeah,
that's huge.
Your man, the Goose, still managed to cash.
Yeah, just he made the cut by a shot.
There you go.
Yeah.
42nd place. And then, a lot of big names not making cash. Isaac Robinson missing cash. Who else we got there? Paul McBeth in a millionth place, 64th place.
Yeah.
Thomas Gilbert down there. Albert Tom in 72nd place. Simon Lizotte wasn't even aware he was still playing.
Yeah.
Haven't seen anything of him this season.
Drew Gibson. Simon Lizotte doesn't think he's ever missed a cut before for a four-round event.
There you go.
Yeah.
And he missed it by a mile.
Yeah.
Drew Gibson, I'm pretty sure he came last week.
There you go.
Like, not even a DNF. I think he was just a million over par. Nico LeCastro way down there. Austin Hannum. A lot of big names, just trash. Like, it's wild.
This field is so crazy strong because now, it's like, so when you get to the bottom, like, the guys that are coming last are, like, guys that have been on Jomez. Like,
yeah.
Carter Ahrens, Aiden Scott, Austin Hannum, Eric Oakley. Like, these guys are coming last. Like, they are 100th. That's how strong the field is.
Like, Gavin Rathbun, there's a lot of 10, 20 disc golfers in 100th place.
Yeah.
It's wild. The field is so strong.
Yeah.
Yeah. Crazy, crazy, crazy.
Cool stuff.
But in the FBO, not exactly the same story. You've got Chris Nitar, and then you've got six others, and then you've got the rest.
Yeah.
And the rest is just, it's not good. But Tatar by 7 strokes over on, and then all the familiar names, Holland Hanley, Evelina, Haley King, Hannah Blumroos, Ella Hansen, Natalie Ryan, Missy Gannon. Like, you're not missing anyone, really. Yeah. Paige Pierce a couple down that, but outside you've got 10 that'll be in the top 15 every single week, I think.
Yeah.
And it's just pick your order and how close you can get to second place. But it's wild. And Tatar sitting there at 999 rated after the ratings update.
Yeah, I know. I've got a bit to say about that later.
Okay. Yeah. We'll leave that alone then.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think this week they're on to Austin.
Correct.
The Open at Austin, and if Sam is anything to be believed, it's not quite as open this year. It's going to be a bit more wooded.
So, all right.
Yeah, not sure. Let's see how we go.
Presumably it doesn't start tomorrow because I haven't put my tips in yet.
Well, I don't know. I put mine in. So I missed a bunch last year. Not a bunch, but I missed a couple last year. And then now this year we have that different system where if you miss, you're just fucked. I'm not missing.
Yeah.
One thing I want to do before we leave the pros is steal something from tour life. Yes. Definitely don't mind stealing segments and information, any of that jazz.
I was listening just before, just to get ready for tonight.
Yeah, good. Yeah. No, definitely don't mind stealing from them because we might be the only two people in Australia that listen to it.
Yes.
But they did the Constructors Championship, so the Manufacturers Championship.
That's it. Surely it's called that.
Yeah, it is. Like, it's called the Constructors Championship in the F1.
Okay,
and the Parked crew took that and did it for the Australian manufacturers.
Yeah.
And they must have been listening to the Park Clubhouse, and they've ripped them off pretty much.
Bang.
Yeah.
It's come full circle. Now it's back in Australia.
Yeah, exactly. So now I'm stealing it. I'm keen to see what the update is now for the Parked one, actually, for the Aussie crew. But we've got, after a couple events, we've got Team Discmania out in front with Discraft not too far behind, and then way back, Prodigy, Dynamics, Mint, and then Innova barely getting a mention. So I don't know exactly how the full points work, how many people you get. It's exact same as F1, but I don't know shit about F1.
Yeah, same.
But I think it's pretty top heavy. So I think wins get you a lot, and then not too much after that. But yeah, Innova. They kept Calvin, obviously, but there was a lot of player movement, and I don't remember them picking up too much. I feel like Mason Ford was a big signing for him, in my head. Or was that Emerson Keith? That might have been Emerson Keith.
Yeah, maybe, yeah.
Yeah, I'm not sure, but that's a big name, and they're currently behind Mint Discs.
Oh.
Yeah. Mint Discs is beating Innova Discs after two rounds, and they've got the best player in the world on their team. So,
wow.
Calvin needs to fire up.
Yeah. Well, it's a long episode, Tour Life, at the moment, and They're going to talk about Kelvin's injuries. I haven't got to that part yet. There's a few parts I haven't got to yet.
Yeah,
But
okay.
he's obviously got something going on.
Yeah, he doesn't just be shit.
Yeah.
All right, so we've been teasing a little bit about the ratings update. Yeah, what have you seen that you like from the ratings update?
Well, let's start with one another first. How did you go?
I took a dip, which is unsurprising. I went about 4 down, I think.
Okay.
And I was at an all-time high. Like that, my November has still got a lot of fat results in it. And yeah, it's slowly starting to trickle in some less good ones. So I'm not sure. I think I actually had a good Stony League last year. So I think a couple, like a 980 or like a couple fake high events might have dropped out. And a couple genuine 910s stayed in. So, but not too bad. How about yourself?
I had the mirror of that. I had a nice little +4.
Yeah, well, Stony was good to you this year. And you had a bunch of events.
Yes.
A bunch of rounds.
Yeah, Stony was good to me. And obviously, Alinda was good to me. And so, back into the 950 club. Don't find myself on the top 25. Currently, to make it to the top 25, you need a 9.58.
Wow.
But a couple of names that do find themselves there pretty comfortably. We got a new big dog in the MP40. Ruben Berg, 9.66. Towering above Chris Finn, way back down at 9.62. you've also got your mate Hayden Fatini. Finding himself in the 960 club.
Oh, really? Oh, Jesus.
Yep, 960 club.
there you go.
Yep.
Gee, that just shows what a big fluke my November was.
Aiden Howard, just short of the 960 club on 959. But let's go to the top of that list. Australia now has 2 1,000 rated players. Dylan Feldman, 1,007, David Perry, 1,004, closely followed by Luke Bain on 998.
Yeah, that's cool. Tassie's not going to do much for Bainey, which is a shame. But I think he's going to be SA next week. So, big one there. Could maybe tip him over the edge. That'd be pretty nuts. I don't know if we've ever had 2 at a time, but I know we haven't had 3.
Yeah.
Like, there's no way. So, yeah, pretty exciting. Blake Howson up to 990 as well. It's looking good.
I'm going to go out on a whim and say that we've never had 2 1,000 rated players before.
I would be pretty confident in that.
Which is a beautiful segue into something that we kind of teased last week.
I've got it. Before you do that,
yep.
I've got it. You mentioned Aiden Howard on 959. You couldn't go one spot down to Ryan Deere in 958. Rough.
Oh, sorry. he's not on my list. I don't know why you're seeing him. I'm not.
Oh, well, because I was having a look at the Vic Open because it's got a shit ton of people in it. And I was just having a look at some noticeable names.
Yep.
So, I'm seeing Ryan Michelle at a 928, and I feel like that's down, but I'm not 100% sure. And then, in the MA1, what did I say that was interesting? Oh, we talked about it before. Our man Chris Scott.
Oh, yes.
The man who kicked my ass today. He is up to 933.
Big.
Which is an all-time high for him.
Yep.
So, very big.
Yeah.
And Matt Hill down to a 936. So, but I feel like he'll be climbing back up pretty soon for sure.
So, I have to correct you on one thing there. Ryan Michelle, because I noticed this on Tuesday, because he put something up on socials, a little proud moment. That's actually a +3. That's a +3 for Ryan Michelle.
Well, whoops. I thought he was better. My bad.
Yeah.
Sorry, Ryan. Good job, buddy. Another thing that caught my eye, possibly wrong, but the gap between Georgia and Emma is getting frighteningly big. So Emma is at an 805 and Georgia is at an 821.
Yeah.
I don't know. If it starts leaking a couple points either way again, this could get very embarrassing for Emma. So we need her to fire up a bit and get that a bit higher up.
Yes, we do.
We don't want to see Georgia drop. We want to see success, but we need to get that a little higher up.
We do.
What else did I see that I liked? The MA2 division is starting to heat up. So Penn is at a 915 and Stoyer 917. So a couple boys making some moves there as well.
Yep. Which should put them well and truly in the mix in MA1.
Yeah, exactly.
Again, it's a shit division, boys. Get out of it.
Yeah.
All right.
So what are you looking at in the top 25?
All right. So I'm looking at lots of things. I teased last week that I think that we have a bubble here, but I think our bubble's expanding. And you raised a really good point, and I bring on Vic Open because Vic Open really will be that stake in the ground that we can kind of get a real good sense of whether or not golfers are getting better here in Australia or whether or not our ratings are just inflating due to increased travel and a few other things, an increased player base, et cetera, and whether or not we are just getting inflated ratings, which I welcome, okay? So we've put the call out for Australia Stats or Stat Pendo to come to the party, and neither did. Neither came to the party on this. And I want to think of a funny nickname quickly for this new stat one. I've got one. We got Aidwin Stats.
No one else will know. Like I said, no one else listens to Tour Life. So no one will know that reference.
But you did, and we're good to go.
Yeah, I did.
All right.
I do like Thank that. Thank you. Aidwin Stats.
So, look, this is what I'm going to tell you. Before this latest update, the average for the top 10 players in Australia was 984.5. That average for the top 10 is now 987.2. 3 points higher. Top 25, the average was 971.36. It is now 973. I'll go all the way down to the top 100, all right, which is basically the entire player base of the nation. But if you just look at the top 100 players in Australia, this catches me by surprise, but the average for the top 100 players in Australia is 944.2 before the latest update. It is now 944.64. Even that's gone up.
Yeah, and it's if we look over the year, too, that's the one that really gets me. So the top 100 goes from 936 last year, the start of last year, to 944 now, which is that's a massive jump.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. It really is. So again, are 100 players in this country getting better? Or is our bubble shifting? And I'm definitely in the bubble shifting camp.
Yeah, I'm really torn by this. I really don't know. My rating has been going up sort of steadily, and I sort of don't feel too much different. But I've been hitting PBs at Bald Hill and doing good stuff at Nationals, but also still kind of crap at other things as well. But I feel like my kind of crap is still a little bit better than it was, but it doesn't feel any different. I only think that because the ratings say it does. So I am also unsure, for my own, personal experience on anecdotal experience. The other thing that could factor in, there's just more disc golfers than ever playing.
Yep.
So if more people get in, then it's more likely that some of those people will be good. You know, if there's only 100 people playing, then the top 100 is not going to be that great. If there's 1,000 people playing, the top 100 is probably going to be better. Yep. So that could be factoring in. So not necessarily everyone's getting better, but like some people are. It's tough. It's going to be tough. But yeah, the Vicar Open will be a good one for sure to check out. That's a good check mark.
Yeah. Watch this space. I know I put you all to sleep when I talk about ratings, but I'm going to keep doing it.
Yeah, nice. But it's across the board. Like, it seems from a year ago, like, Aiden's given us some amazing stats. Like, every update, it's got the average ratings for the top 1, top 5, top 10, top 25, top 50, top 100. And almost across the board, it's about 8 points higher than it was a year ago. Well, over a year ago. And it's just, you can see it's a fairly steady growth in general. So the top one's a little bit different because that's normally just been one guy.
Whoever that person is.
Or it might be two guys. Yeah. So that can fluctuate a little bit, depends how much they play or whatever. But yeah, the top 5, 10, 20, like all of it is sort of general steady incline. Like it's essentially a linear line. So, I'm interested.
Well,
we might be the only two.
I'll tell you what jumps out at me as well. Obviously, I did get into the 960 club there for a while, and I'm not there currently. And we talk about me being on the front 25. The average of the top 25 right now is 973. Like, but 14 months ago, the average was 965. Hence why I was finding myself up there. I'd love to see this back another 12 months because, yeah, over the last 2 years, it's gone a long way.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, the COVID infection has been crazy. But, yeah, that's kind of, sort of to the point of more people just means some of them will be good.
Mm.
But is the top, I don't know. We'll have to look more into it, but it's got me intrigued.
Yes.
For sure. Maybe none of our listeners, but
too bad.
All right. Hopefully this will spark some interest for the listeners. So we've had a bit of a tease of this for a while now, and I think it's actually going to happen. A little disc golf battle between us and the boys down the road in the tee-off.
Bring a ding ding. This is bigger than Tyson and Jake Paul.
Yeah, exactly. we were looking to do it at the Vic Open, but I reached out to the guy who's doing the doubles to see if we could just secure ourselves a little slot while the doubles was on, and unsurprisingly, I got a bit of don't think so. because I know for sure that if I was running a big tournament like the Vic Open, it was going to run a big doubles event. If some flog was like, hey, we want to do a little thing with our podcast, slice us off a piece of the pie, I'd be like, nah, man, eat a dick. So, but I thought we were a big deal for a second, but fortunately, we got humbled pretty good.
Yeah.
But, nonetheless, we will persevere, and I think we'll go check it out the weekend before. We might get a practice round in and do some triples against the tee-off crew. I've had words with Parked Media to see if they would want to get in on this once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. And I'm not sure if we've landed that big fish yet, but we'll see how we go. But either way, we'll hype it up, and maybe we'll make a metrics round, so if anyone does give a shit, they can check it out.
Yep.
But I'm keen. I think it'd be fun. The tee-off crew, they've got, Paddy and Fergie and... Timmy B. Crazy. And we've only got two, so what are we doing with this imbalance?
Well, any passionate listeners would know that We've got a co-host that brings the goods. You know, he stepped into my chair when I've been absent, and when we've been away for Green Jacket weekends, he's nodded at the microphone. So it could be none other than Darren Stay Smith that comes into the fold for us.
Nice. I like that. So you, me, and Dazza versus Timmy, Patty, and
has anyone
Ferg's.
Communicated with Daz that we're bringing it a week early?
Oh, no. Nah.
I don't think so.
Better message him before this gets out. How many strokes do we need to give him, you reckon, to make it fair?
Yeah, I don't know. Like, presumably we'll play Invalid Gold.
Yeah.
I think 7 strokes would probably give him a chance.
Yeah, I reckon. Maybe we'll get Dylan as a host next week. Maybe Dylan
yeah,
joins
sick.
Us. We'll get
sick,
him.
Yeah, he's like, as our avid listeners would know, Dylan's hosted many shows. He's basically our third member.
Yeah, exactly. Nah, it should be good fun. So, yeah, we'll keep you guys posted on that. But, yeah, Throlers versus Teoff. Decide once and for
Bring
all.
Bring on. I'll be very surprised if Park don't take a piece of that. Park, you know, if you ask me, it's probably the ideal Park dish round.
I would agree.
Which obviously they like to release pre-tournament. So I'll be surprised if they're not there. They've made nothing but very sound business decisions, and I'd be surprised if they miss the opportunity to make another one.
I'll get a fresh cut mohawk too, and I'll even let him pick what color I dye.
There we go. And we and obviously bit of your commentary is already lined up. You know, we got the tee off commentate 9, and we commentate the other 9, or
There's so
many options there.
I love how we've just already decided all what's
going
on.
Yeah, you're welcome, Kyle. You're welcome,
we haven't
Kyle.
Even
we've done
told
all the
Daz
work for
on.
You, mate. All you need to do is rock up.
Excellent. All right, should we wrap this up with some spotlight and not light?
Yes.
Excellent. What have you got anything
for? I've got
for
one
me?
Of each.
Beautiful. All right, lead us off with the spotlight.
Spotlight. Gannon Burr being warned for excessive time violation during the final round on coverage. I'm throwing that out there as a spotlight immediately. It was done by a warden or an officer or some sort of rules judge thingamajiggy. Was it targeted? Yes. Was it more than 30 seconds? Yes. And, you know, we obviously have some players that have some mental health challenges when it comes to playing within the bounds, and Gannon's not one of them, and he just simply needs to know the rules. And kudos to the official for giving him his warning on that.
Yeah, nice. He must have been listening to episode last week and was just like, you know what, Chris, you're right. Someone needs to stand up, and he's done it. So good job to that official. All right, I've got an honorable mention for the spotlight. I was checking out the GK Pro Skins event, the final one in New Zealand at Paradise Plate. And watching on the front 9, everyone should definitely check it out. New Zealand boy Levi Stout, who gets a lot of mentions on this show for being young and incredible. He throws his takapu. It hits a stick on the ground and then anti-skips up to the basket. So he's got a putter, skip ace on a wooded course, and it is wild. Like, it's nowhere near going in. It's just a great park shot. But somehow just anti-skips Annie bang into the basket. And the ace pot had grown to 8,500, I think, US. And yeah. And they pushed 5 skins. So it was for 6 skins, which was $600. And there was a $100 CTP. So he takes out the $700 for the comp and $8,500. For hitting a stick.
Jesus.
Yeah, it's worth a look in. Check it out. It's on the front 9. It's pretty cool.
Okay.
But that was the honorable mention.
Big.
So what could be better than that? Down in Hobart for the Tassie Open, 27 holes is what they played, right?
Yes.
But a bunch of lunatics kept going and playing another 27 holes.
I know.
After every crazy day, except for the final day, I think. And in one of those rounds, it was the Parked Boys, so Jace, Ash, and Kyle. And they got teamed up with some of the other crew, some of the non-Parked crew. So big names in Jade Brady, Austin D'Alessandro, and Jacob Biggest Krug. Name. The biggest name, for sure. And so Jacob got paired up with Jace Wiedner. And it was almost too unfair. It's like they hadn't seen Jason's form in
Street League.
His Street League form was immaculate. Just couldn't be
unstoppable.
Beat.
Unstoppable.
Who do you want to put against him? Doesn't matter. And it happens again. So Jason and Jacob, over 27 holes, take down Austin and I can't remember who he played with. I'm just going to say Kyle and Jade and Ash. So well done to Jace and Jacob. But the spotlight goes to Jace. He's just the man to have on your doubles team. Well
man,
done,
the
Jace.
Myth, the legend. Well done, Jace. I do. I've gone with a bit of a theme here. So I've gone with the time violation, rule official, rule theme. I'm going to not light the 5 minutes before tea time.
Oh, yeah. This is so dumb.
I'm not lighting it in general. It doesn't make any sense. Ricky Wysocki cops 2 strokes to start the tournament because of a snake in the grass. Social media lit up to say that it was Kyle Klein, but Kyle Klein's bit back saying that I wasn't even on his card and I don't even know what you're talking about. But a few people on Reddit and places went right after Kyle. So I don't know how the rumor started at Kyle, but Kyle's saying, ain't me. I don't know what you're talking about.
Well, I can tell you it's not. So, no player can dob him in. The new rule they have is you have to go to the hole one and have a talk with the official 5 minutes before your tee time. Which is a stupid ass rule. So, but if you're not there, that's the official gives you the thing.
Yeah.
It's not a player.
But do you see what Ricky Wysocki said on Instagram?
No. I don't follow
anyone. So Ricky has put out a video that just bluntly says, I was there 4 minutes and 30 seconds before my tee time. And one of my card mates, let the TD know. And the TD didn't have a choice but to give me the penalty.
Oh,
that's
okay.
What his video says.
Never mind that. Well, that's great. I thought that official would have to be the one.
No. And that's what everyone else thinks as well. But that's not what Ricky said.
Oh.
But anyway, the rule itself's dumb.
There you go. So dumb.
There's just no need for it. I don't get it. And what's dumb about it is that it's so easy to police and they'll stroke people left, right, and center. But there's all these other rules that they don't enforce. And that are never enforced. So it's just, anyway, the 5 minute rule gets my not light.
Nice. Sounds good. I don't have one this week. I enjoyed everything that I've seen this week. It's been a good week. It's only been a 4 day week. What could I be mad at? All right. Well, that wraps us up. So, we'll check out what's going on this weekend.
I want to say Llewellyn, maybe.
Oh, yeah, Llewellyn. So, I'm not sure if I'll make that yet, but we'll see how we go. And then next week we'll have a big preview of the SA Open.
Yes.
Which I'm pretty excited about. So, all right, thanks for listening, everybody.
Peace out.